That you brought your Bible with you tonight, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew and the 6th chapter, Matthew chapter 6, as we will be beginning our study there in just a moment. There's a couple of gentlemen who are coming down the aisle. They are bringing interactive outlines that go along with the lesson. I encourage you to take one and follow along, jot down notes as we go through, and hopefully that will be a tool to encourage you in your study of this portion of God's Word. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be with you tonight. God has blessed us with a wonderful day, and certainly an opportunity we have to come together and sing praises to Him and encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to study His Word is never something that we want to pass up on, but take advantage of it. And I'm quite encouraged to look out and see the faces of friends and family, but I'm certainly encouraged to see the faces of those who have set aside time on a Tuesday night when I know there's 100 other things you could be doing, to spend time in spiritual things. You're an encouragement to me for being here tonight, and I hope that our time together will be spiritually refreshing and encouraging to you. I'm very excited to be with you tonight and to share with you a lesson on how to be rich beyond wealth. And we are currently studying through the Sermon on the Mount in this series I'm calling Kingdom Living, where we are learning about the Lord's rule in our lives. And what I hope that we've been seeing over the past few lessons is that the Lord wants us to be devoted to Him from the inside out. He does not want us to play at serving Him by being play actors, by being hypocrites, as He's spoken about extensively in this sermon, by appearing to be one thing on the outside when really we are something else on the inside. He doesn't want us to serve Him just to promote ourselves before men, just to gain the praise, gain the respect of others. But He wants us to serve Him because it is right. He wants us to serve Him because we want to, because we love Him, because we want Him to be glorified. And Jesus told us at the beginning of the sermon that God approves, God blesses the poor in spirit. It's the proud spirit, the hypocritical spirit, the self-righteous spirit that God abhors. He doesn't want His disciples to go the way of the scribes and the Pharisees. Rather, we're told to be like Him and to shape our heart after His. And so tonight we turn our attention to really a passage of Scripture that is full of warning. Warning to our hearts about the power of material things. Warning about earthly treasures that would pollute our hearts and draw us away from God. And I just want us to appreciate that we come to these verses in the latter half of Matthew chapter 6 from a very different perspective from those peasants on the mountainside, that first audience that heard these words. Because we are rich and they were poor. You say, no, I'm not rich. I'm actually working. I'm going at great lengths to show the government that I am not rich, especially this time of year. Middle class at best. Listen, even as middle class, we are rich. We ask a similar question that he talks about here in Matthew 6. What shall I eat today? And when we ask that question, we mean, I wonder what's in the pantry, what shall I eat today? I wonder what's in the refrigerator, what shall I eat today? I'm not sure if I want any of these things. Maybe we should go to the restaurant. Honey, what shall we eat today? When this group that Jesus spoke to said, what shall we eat? It's because they had a bad day fishing and they wondered, what are we going to eat? It's a very different place that we're coming from as we approach the words of Jesus in the second half of Matthew chapter 6. And we just need to bear this in mind. As we read these words, he's not idealizing poverty and asceticism, that idea that we must abuse our flesh and abuse ourselves in this life to be spiritually mature. He's not saying that. At the same time, he does not condemn having possessions, but what he is eminently concerned with is the attitude of our heart toward our possessions, whether we have little or whether we have much. So bearing that in mind, let's look at Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, How great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think most in the room tonight already understand that as we mentally comprehend, we appreciate the fact that it is futile to stake our lives, our souls, on material things. We understand you can't take it with you. Like Paul was inspired to write in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We understand that. And I believe we understand that we can't save our souls with all of our money and all of our stuff. Matthew 16, verse 26, the Lord said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There is an afterlife, and all the things of this physical life won't matter when we are there. And I think we know those things. As Christians, we have subscribed to those things. But at the same time, it is easy for us to forget and for our hearts to become tied to the world around us. Why? Because we live here and we want to do well here and we want to be taken care of here. And so we come to this text where Jesus shows us riches beyond earthly wealth. He shows us the value of our hearts and how easily they can be caught by the snares of worldly worry, if not earthly avarice. And He shows us how giving our hearts to God will deliver us, giving an abundant life now and hope for the future. But it's all about our heart. So we want to talk about how to be rich beyond wealth. And we begin to learn this by understanding, number one, this first step, we must free our heart from earthly treasure. Free your heart, number one in your notes, from earthly treasure, if you would be rich beyond earthly wealth. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I come to this text and I wanted to point out initially that Jesus is not talking about two kinds of currencies. That there is an earthly currency and that there is a heavenly currency. He's not saying that. What He's saying is that our heart follows our treasure. And this is important. The disciples' heart must not be conquered by the hypocrisy of self-righteousness and pride. But neither must it be compromised by materialism and greed. Because our heart will follow our treasure. And this is for our benefit, because as long as our heart remains tied to earthly treasure, it's in jeopardy. Our heart is in danger. It is in danger of being devastated. It is in danger of being lost, so long as it is tied to earthly things. And you say, why? Because earthly treasure, earthly wealth, is passing. Earthly treasure can be consumed. He says the moths will eat it. And earthly treasure can decay. He said the rust will corrupt it. And earthly treasure can be stolen. Thieves break in, literally dig through your walls, and steal. And this is the nature of earthly treasure, earthly wealth. It is transitory. It is passing. And I want to underscore verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart follows our treasure. Let me illustrate this to you. Black Tuesday, October 29th, 1929. That's the day of the great stock market crash, sending our country into the Great Depression. A very heartbreaking event, or actually several events occurred that day, that so many of the wealthy stock traders in New York City, those investors, went up to the top of buildings at the end of that day and threw themselves off. Why would they do that? Why would they jump off a building? Because your heart follows your treasure. And their treasure was lost that day. They killed themselves. Because their hearts were tied to earthly things. And you know, as a society, we would try to learn from that. And so we try to protect our treasures as best we can. We have security systems. And we have warranties. And we want to protect ourselves with insurance. And that kind of security simply deceives some people into trusting, again, earthly treasures. But all of those things are merely stopgap measures to that which is inevitable loss. I tell you, even if you never have any kind of economic hardship in your life, you are still one day going to die. And it all stays here. You lose it all of earthly treasure. So understanding we have to free our heart from earthly treasure, and why? To protect our hearts from devastation that tying it to earthly things will occur. How do we do that? How do we free our heart? And the answer is we change our values. We change our values. We value the things of heaven. We value the things of God greater than the issues of life. And our heart follows then heavenly treasure. Now maybe that's still a little abstract, so let me kind of give you some handles to put on that. How do we change our values? And we're going to talk about this more in our next point on perspective in just a moment. But our values need to be informed by the Word of God. We must value what God values and so be like our Father in heaven. And that has been a recurring message in the series, hasn't it? To be like our Father in heaven as we are endeavoring to live in the kingdom. But here's a specific application. The Lord said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. God is saying that we should value giving over receiving. He's saying it is better to give. Now to receive, that's earthly treasure. We all understand how to do that and we like that. We like, birthdays and Christmas mornings and special occasions like anniversaries because we're going to receive something, right? And that's easy to do, and then we enjoy those gifts, and that's fantastic. There's earthly treasure. But to give is heavenly treasure. And sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to give, isn't it? Sometimes we have to think about how to give. Sometimes we have to make ourselves give. And yet giving is the heavenly value. Giving is the heavenly treasure. Well, let's say you have a choice between giving and receiving. If you can do one or the other, the higher value, the heavenly treasure, is giving. Our heart should be to give. We want to give. Let's say your choice falls on a Wednesday night. You can give an hour to God and to God's people by participating in a Bible class. Or you could sell an hour to your employer. Now, if you give the hour to God and to the brethren, well, you've given an hour. If you sell the hour to your boss, then you receive monetary compensation. You're choosing to give or to receive. Now, we've changed our values when we choose to give. And our heart follows our values. Our heart follows our treasures, whether they are in heaven or on earth. And Christians need to free their heart from earthly treasure. It's how we come to be rich beyond wealth. But we go on to the next paragraph in Matthew 6. How shall we be rich beyond earthly wealth? Well, I understand we have to free our heart from earthly treasure by changing what we value. The key to changing what we value is harnessing the power of our perspective. We have to harness the power of our perspective. And we go down to Matthew 6 and verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He talks about the eye and he says it's the lamp of the body. And as you recall from some of the lessons we've already had, he's talked to us some about lamps, hasn't he? There's this relationship of the eye to the body as the lamp to the house that we got into in Matthew 5 and verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And we talked about the effort it was and how valuable light was in those homes in the first century. And how we tease now about a moth being drawn to a flame. But in that day and age, the whole family is drawn to the flame. You want to be able to see to do your sewing or whatever work you are at night, you're going to get around the lamp. And hey, if you have a lamp in your house, then get it up high that it can put out as much light as possible. The light of the lamp needs to fill the house as much as possible. And here he is talking about the eye of the body. It's the lamp. It's the lamp. This is that the eye is the source of what fills the heart. The eye is the source of what floods the heart, whether that's good or bad. So, what do we look at in life? What is our perspective? What are we looking on? What is our eye fixed upon? That's what's filling our body. That's what's filling our heart. Is it earthly treasures? That which is susceptible to theft and decay? What are we looking on? What are we thinking on and focusing on? Is it physical necessities? We always are thinking about what we'll eat next, our food, our drink, our clothing. What are we focusing on? Is it mammon? Our money and our stuff, all that earthly wealth around us, what are we focusing on? I think about the power of the television, because as that is constantly in front of our eyes, and people are constantly trying to sell us things through that medium. Now, I'm not one of these people that says, you know, you can't have a television, don't watch television. I'm not saying that at all. But how can it not have an effect when every 10 minutes we have about another 5 minutes of you're not content, you're not happy, you need this to make you happy? I mean, it's just advertisement after advertisement showing us you need to have some other earthly treasure. Always before our eyes, always filling our hearts. And so instead of learning contentment, messages are being planted to be just always stay a little discontent. And how can that not have an effect? How can it not feed discontent and attract our hearts to earthly treasures when we watch it so much? And always in front of our eyes, we're told, no, you're not happy with what you have. You need one more thing. Think about the power of your perspective. Think about the power of what you put before your eyes and what you focus on. To learn contentment and appreciate the wealth and blessing you have around you. And to always be looking out at one more thing I need. One more thing I don't have yet. So if we're going to learn to be rich beyond earthly wealth, we've got to harness the power of our perspective. We've got to learn how to focus those eyes on good things. And we harness our perspective in two ways. Two ways we harness our perspective. First, admit that what we look upon fills our hearts. That's a pretty general principle, actually. That's just true. What we look upon fills our hearts. Second, actively look upon the things of God. That is His Word and His rule. I'll tell you, in making the time to be looking at the Word of God, and taking the time to harness the power of the Gospel and understanding our world, it colors how we look at everything else. And we ought to go through life looking at everything through a biblical lens. And that's really the power of perspective. Understanding this world not from what we see or what we want in the way of physical earthly achievements, but understanding the world, seeing the world as Jesus does. And when we look upon the world as God does, then we can rise above it to that which is spiritual and true and right and eternal. A renewed mind that allows us to be sacrificial servants. Would you look with me to Romans 12 and verse 1? passage probably some in the room have memorized, I have no doubt. But keeping our marker in Matthew 6, for we'll return there shortly. Notice with me Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I tell you, what is before our eyes, what our gaze is fixed upon, what are we focusing upon, will be the determinant if we are conformed to the world around us, just going along with everyone else, or whether we will truly be transformed. Because we'll look upon the Word of God and look up to the world around us to understand what is true and right is what He has revealed. But as long as our perspective is earthly, as long as our perspective is worldly, we are full of darkness because we've already seen that this world is in darkness and it's in desperate need of God's light. So we go to the Word for it. Harness the power of your perspective to be rich beyond earthly wealth. Dovetailing that then is to make the commitment to devote your heart to God. Number 3 in your notes, devote your heart to God. As we turn our attention to Matthew 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 verse 24, the Lord says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This relationship of master to slave is one that is disdainful to us, to say the least. We do not think anything favorable about slavery, do we? And yet it was a reality of the biblical world. That master is the one who exercised authority. And slaves may see themselves in bondage. And that's probably the main relationship we think of as we consider a servant and his master, or a slave and his master. But I want you to consider another aspect, another dynamic of that relationship. The master was the source of security and provision for the slave. You had a good master, he took good care of you. You had a lousy master, you had a really rough life. Because it was the master that was your source of security, your source of provision. What Jesus is telling us in Matthew 6 and verse 24 is you get to choose your master. You will serve something, but you get to choose your master. Your heart follows your treasure. You get to choose your treasure. Do we treasure God or do we treasure our things? We serve the one that our heart follows. We get to choose who we follow. God will not have any half-heartedness. I mean, that's what He's saying here in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. But you know what? He's been saying that to us all along. He started in Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He's been telling us all along that we cannot have divided loyalties with God. We must choose one master and be devoted to that master. And now He's showing us who your masters may be. They may be God. They may be mammon. Mammon, that Bible word, because you only hear it in church. That word that means your money and your stuff, all your wealth, your earthly treasure, the net worth, the portfolio, your mammon. The cars, the boats, the new house, the mammon. Your money and your stuff can be your master. It's not a good master. It tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 24, but God could be your master. And God is a good master. God is a good master because God loves you. Your money doesn't love you. Your new car doesn't love you. Your big house doesn't love you. But God loves you. God's a good master. God's a good master because God listens. Your money doesn't listen. I saw the bumper sticker, my money knows how to talk. Or money talks, it only says goodbye. Yeah, money talks, it says goodbye, it talks. Money doesn't listen. It's not going to listen to you. And your new car isn't going to listen to you. And your big house isn't going to listen to you. But God listens to you. He's a good master. God's a good master, for He is powerful and He answers. Your money doesn't have the answers. Your house doesn't have the power. Mammon is not a good master at all. You could serve the true and living God. You could devote yourself and commit yourself to Him and to Him alone, the one who loves you, the one who listens to your prayers, the one who answers. Or you could give yourself to Mammon, and that is a deaf and dumb idol. Please understand that you are choosing today who your master is. Would you be rich beyond wealth? Choose God. And finally, as we come to point four, in choosing God and having Him to be our master, now we are able to enjoy the riches of God's rule and God's provision. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. When our heart is with God, He will take care of the rest. And that's a promise from God's Word. When our heart is with God, He will take care of the rest. And so the thing that we must value is the rule of God. To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. To seek His rule in our lives and His righteousness. That's what we've been talking about. Kingdom living. God's rule in our life. Because we follow His rules. And when we follow His rules, we will labor to provide for ourselves. That's the main method by which God will provide for His people. I think we know that. I think we appreciate what Paul wrote. That if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. This is how God is going to provide for us in many instances. But in those times when there is need, put Him first. Don't set Him aside so that you're about meeting your own needs. The job, the career, and all that it attains is secondary. God is primary. How? How do we enjoy the riches of God's rule and provision? How do I experience richness beyond wealth? By valuing the rule of God, we seek His kingdom. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek His kingdom, that is, seek His rule. This is about setting our priorities. We are going to put God's will, God's best, before us always, and that is what we will have. Secondly, we're going to stop worrying. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Do not worry. You know, do not worry. A lot easier to say to someone, you know, that's the medicine you can always prescribe, pretty hard to take. Well, you say don't worry, but you don't know my problems. You say don't worry, but you don't know my situation. I'm not up here telling you don't worry and just patting your hand saying it's going to be all right. I'm saying don't worry because the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry. Just a messenger telling you what your Lord has promised you. If you'll tell Him, or if you will rely on Him and trust Him, and do not worry, but turn your worries over to Him. Cast your cares upon Him. He cares for you. And I think a big key of that is found in verse 34 of the chapter. As we come to the close of Matthew 6. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We have to stop second-guessing God about tomorrow and just focus on today. Because the truth is, He's given us today. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know that the Lord may just come back tomorrow. And that'd be a fine thing. So we don't worry about tomorrow and those things. We're going to focus on today. And today we can say that God is good and a just master. And today we can say, look at how all has God has blessed me today. And today I know that God has heard my prayers. And today I know forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. And today I am full of joy for the Christian life. Today I am rich beyond earthly wealth. You can be rich beyond wealth. You can change your heart and attitude toward this material world. You can seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He will care for your physical needs. You will be blessed spiritually. You will be blessed eternally for choosing Him and putting Him first. We're going to sing a song of encouragement now. A song that we sing for any who has not truly laid down and sought the kingdom first. Here is your chance to be devoted to God, to make your commitment to Him, that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that you believe Jesus is the Christ, and to be baptized, immersed in water, to have your sins washed away, to come up from that water a new creation in Christ, a child of God. You have an opportunity to do that. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement right now for those who are the children of God, who read these verses in Matthew 6 and they're cut to the heart because they realize their life's all backwards right now. I am caught up in the worldliness around me. I am caught up in things. I am an idolater. I didn't even know it. But I've not been putting God first. You can put God first. You can come and confess that and repent of that. We'd love to pray for you and help you with any spiritual need that you might have. That you would leave here right with God and to know a life that is rich beyond earthly wealth. If we can help you with any spiritual need, I just ask that you come forward and make it known now. As together we stand and sing. Won't you come?